Kent Hamner stood alone, staring at Connie's body on the monitor after the rest of the Masters and other Jedi had filed out. They were furious, raging, but they could not fight, not yet, and so were anxious to channel their energies into something positive. Ramus, a subdued Saha by her side, had tried to get Hamner to go eat something, but he shook his head without speaking, and eventually she, too, had left to start organizing the apprentices. He stood here because he realized he didn't know where he wanted to go. Normally, he would go back to his offices, finish up the day's work, spend some time in the Room of a Thousand Fountains, and then on to his quarters here at the temple. But today was most assuredly not a normal day. Hamner had no wish to be at odds with his fellow masters, but Grandmaster Luke Skywalker had charged him with a duty, and that duty was to lead the Jedi as best he could. Hamner would do nothing less. It pained and sometimes frustrated him that what seemed like obvious, sound, clear choices to him were seldom perceived as such by the Council. Duties awaited him, even now, even when the temple was under siege and an innocent girl's corpse lay stiffening on the steps. But he couldn't move. Not yet. His comlink chimed. His eyes still fastened on Connie, he fished out his comm and clicked it.
Hamner.
There was a slight pause, then a voice that Hamner recognized.
Master Hamner, thank you for speaking with me.
Pleasant, purring Bothan. Hamner recovered swiftly, and his voice was steady as he replied.
Admiral Bois, too. This is unexpected, to say the least.
What was Admiral Nekbois II doing contacting him on a secure channel out of the blue, in the middle of a siege? And how? No, he knew without asking. Bois II was the head of the Galactic Alliance Navy. He'd be able to bypass Galactic Alliance jamming signals if he wanted to.
I'm certain it is, but this is a matter of some import and timeliness.
I'm staring at the body of a girl who was murdered by the heartless bastard you picked to lead the siege. I assure you, sir, I am all attention.
Not to put too fine a point on it, Master Hamner, but your Jedi are in severe peril at the moment.
Hamner actually laughed, though it was an angry one.
Indeed! Thank you for pointing that out, Admiral. I'm sure we would never have noticed that we were under siege by order of the Galactic Alliance, or that my assistant was just killed in cold blood.
Watu appeared unruffled by the sarcasm.
I deeply regret the girl's death. It is in the hope of avoiding more bloodshed that I speak to you now. I do not refer to the siege, Master Hamner, when I speak of peril.
Hamner suspected a trap. Bois, too, was a decent sort and a fine admiral. His loyalty to the Galactic Alliance was beyond question. Hamner knew that he had even sworn an oath of Krevi. A vow so binding, it meant that Bois, too, put the needs of the Galactic Alliance before those of his homeworld or his own people. Hamner respected that, but the being was canny. The oath of Krevi meant that he worked for the GA first and foremost, and Hamner suspected that, discreet as the two tried to be, Bois too was involved with the Chief of State as more than a friend and advisor.
Let us do each other the courtesy of being blunt, Hamner. It will save us time and possibly lives.
By all means,
Hamner replied, and braced himself.
It has come to my attention that the Jedi are building up a considerable attack force of stealth X's for some purpose as yet unknown to me.
The knot in Hamner's gut tightened another loop. Oddly, though, his danger sense was not active. He inhaled, exhaled, gathering calm about him.
When you said blunt, clearly you meant exactly that. But rumors are wild things, Admiral. You, of all people, should know that.
True, but recordings made by Mandalorians as they fought inside the temple are not rumors. There's quite a build-up going on, Master Hamner. It looks as if you're preparing for something big.